Ja, en anders dan neem ik het vanaf daar wel over. Ga maar staan. Leuk. Beetje mag.
Tien keer erin, hè? Nog aan. Vroeg naar de radio.
Ja, maar
dat was
buiten.
Oh ja. Kan ik mijn stickje er zo uittrekken?
Huh?
Mijn stickje heb ik zo nodig.
Ik ga er met wat ouderwetse rommel achteraan.
Ja. Hey! Het is uit. Nee, grapje.
Camera cable.
No.
Is it like there?
There.
Okay,
camera cable here.
Yeah, thank you.
Zijn ze gewoon met een slijpbol bezig of zo?
Ja, zo klinkt het wel, hè?
Ja, godskoleer.
Het is kind of official,
I think. Please be seated, ladies.
Ja, zo?
We gaan een beetje tegenover elkaar.
Ja, leuk.
Eentje?
Ik heb nog wel laat gewoon met wat fijne daad.
Hey. Listen. Ja. Oh, the workshop is. Oh, cool.
Asta, it should be there and plug this one in.
This bottle so we can actually have a beer.
It's cola. It's cola. Weird.
I still have some left.
Me too. For me, it's all about the balance.
Ingeplucht. Goed te gaan.
Heeft iemand een extra pen en papier voor mij? Heeft
iemand
een extra pen en paper voor
mij?
No.
Yeah, at least have a pen.
Yeah.
And I think I can get you some paper.
Because if there's questions, my memory is not that good. Then we make notes. Thank you.
Do you have extra pen?
Great.
Oh my god.
Asher, could you move over there so we can kind of
sit
down?
Sure.
That's fine.
Do you need to open it?
Nee, okay.
2 minuten nog. Altijd 2 minuten deze dag, dus je hebt... als jij er zin in hebt, beginnen we.
Moet
ik
een
koptelefoon
hebben?
Ja, anders kun je elkaar veel minder goed horen en de muziek.
En
ladies, as long as the light is green, we can just talk without assuming that we're being broadcast. It's up to that. We're live on air. And basically, can we have a protocol for you signaling to me that you want music?
Can it be like this?
Okay. Yeah, but then I will trust you to decide it for the group.
No, I mean, like, if you start to dance.
Yeah, Becky, you're responsible for indicating to me that there must be music.
Oh, no. I think it should be Asher or Donna.
Yeah.
She had some really nice moves.
What?
Yeah. You want music?
Okay.
30 seconds.
Okay, 30 seconds left.
Oh, scheiße.
Jingle.
Scheiße.
Ja, ik heb allemaal wel een jingle doorheen.
Ja, precies.
Oh man, we have
a... Use the side of the chair. Bottom. Frame.
Or just, you know, a bottle opener.
You know, I don't...
Oh, that's much more practical, indeed.
Thanks.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, lovely home listeners. It's 22:13 and we're right on time for Righteous Ranting by Home Standards, that is. And now for something completely different. We've assembled a fine panel of experts by experience on the subject of equality and diversity in the hacker community. And from now on, I will be kind of being a decorative part in the corner and play music when signaled to do so, and shut up for now. The floor is yours, ladies. Introduce yourselves and go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Asher Wolf from Melbourne, Australia.
I'm Donna Metzler from Steenwijk, the Netherlands.
Hi, I'm Asta. I'm from Reykjavik, Iceland.
I'm Becky. I'm from Berlin.
I'm Claudia. I'm from Rotterdam, the Netherlands, but also from Brazil.
Okay, well, I'm completely taken by surprise this morning when I got asked to sit on this panel, and I'm as excited and interested as the rest of you, I guess, to see where the discussion goes.
I guess this is my first hacker or technology camp in Europe. I've been to a couple in Australia. One of which was fabulous and had a really wide range of people there. And the other one had 1,000 men and 6 women. And it's been really lovely to come to OHM and see the incredible diversity that's included in this community. And I'd just like to ask other people here how they've viewed the experience of being at OHM.
It's my first time in a community like this, participating in a hacker conference at all. I mean, I haven't been part of the scene for like less than a year. And I've actually been pleasantly surprised. Everyone has been very positive, helpful, done everything that, you know, it has been overall very interesting and very positive. And I think, you know, the gender ratio was not really a problem at all.
Yeah, I've found it to be a really positive experience as well. I mean, there's been, you definitely get a sense that you're in the minority here, but it's unthreatening as far as I've experienced it so far.
Well, it's my experience also with this one. And I've been, before I've been also to the HARF, for instance, and other CCC camps. And I see a very, very big difference between this camp and other ones. And like, it's getting open and opener and even and more diverse. And not even like in gender diversity, but also like background. And I think I feel it like very positive. I felt very well this camp.
I've been to quite a few hack camps. I went to the one in 2001, I think, in Har. And I think the party's just started. Is that it?
Yeah,
is that
it's a party.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's the fireworks we're missing.
That would have been cool. And to be honest, I've always loved going to them. And of course, the first one I went to, there were a lot less women. And I was there with a women's group called the Gender Changers. It was a group within the OSCE Hack Lab. And I was there with Sarah and Cece, and we had a mission to collect old hardware. And at some point, we made a little mini movie of like Cece and Sarah smashing the hardware with a big kind of Thor hammer. And we just thought that was very funny at the time. But there were, it was at that time, there were very few women. And to be honest, I didn't have that many problems with it. But there's a lot more now, and it's just great. And yeah, I think it's really cool, everything, actually, to be honest.
I still think that in some ways we have a way to go in changing mindsets. Definitely, like with the child node, that's been fantastic, but it shouldn't be viewed as childcare. It's not. It's an activity program. And I think while it's been really fabulous that it's here, and I know that the kids that I've met who've participated in it have absolutely adored it. I think often it's overlooked the impact on having small children at a conference without proper childcare. And by proper childcare, I mean vetted childcare people. You're not going to leave your child with somebody that you don't know who isn't a qualified childcare agent. And for me, it plays a really big part in my interaction, because if I'm having to trail around with a four-year-old, it actually changes the nature of how I interact with people. I'm less likely to stay out till 3 a.m. and have conversations with people that are difficult or confronting. It also changes the way that they see me or view me. Rather than seeing me as somebody who's hard-hitting, they see the four-year-old on my hand, my son, who's gorgeous, and their reaction to me is completely different. So I think that the idea of pushing childcare as something that's really important for the community is something that will help us move along.
And it's not only about childcare, I find. It's so much broader. It's basically not judging people before you actually get to know them and have a proper conversation. And like, we are here, you know, women, talking about women being in the hacker spaces or like in the hacker scene. And there are much more, you know, different people out there. Not just men and women, I mean, that's quite binary. But all the trans people, all the people who have like arbitrary, you know, gender identity and so on. And they finally feel like they belong here, and they really, really appreciate that. Yeah. So, I mean, I think the hacker community can be very, I agree, it can be very sexist. My first night here, the guy who was giving me the beer asked me if I should not take my really big raincoat off because then I would look better.
Did you tell him to go fuck himself?
Of course I did. I was like, this is not okay. This is not okay because this not make me feel safe. And that is something that I think that many boys do not understand when they're interacting with girls, is that as soon as, or like interacting with people in general, as soon as people do not feel safe about your comments, if they are in any way harassing, in a way that do not make people safe, then you're crossing the line. Then you're becoming a creep. Yeah. And that is something, to just put it like that. It actually, I mean, I've had this discussion with quite a few men in the past 6 months, and it has basically helped them to understand where, you know, from my perspective, that it is me who experiences something as negative or as insulting. And if they understand it like that, it might actually change, you know, the behavior in the long term.
You know, I find that even though I felt pretty safe walking around here, or never felt unsafe explicitly, oftentimes I do feel like a bit of an object until I prove that I have something worthwhile to contribute to a conversation. And then all of a sudden, the focus in the eyes changes a bit, and they're like, oh, wait, this person has something to say.
I found it really funny. I was in this, what was it called? They were discussing like encryption for people, like making encryption available for people, like the normal person. And how you're going to make like usability interfaces that actually make sense. And they suddenly start to talk about the 16-year-old girl. If their 16-year-old girl actually...
That was my line. When I started Crypto Party, I said that Crypto Party should be it should be attractive to a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, it should be. But the comments that the guys actually made afterwards, like, the parents are maybe not okay with that their 16-year-old girl has everything encrypted. And the point is that people are supposed to have the right of privacy, women as well, 16-year-old girls as well. So, I mean, the thing is, we are making much more political decisions here when we're talking about encrypting. We are making a decision about who has the right to be encrypted. Mm-hmm. Have 16-year-old girls the right to have encrypted conversations? Or are they supposed to be monitored because they are not safe? There are predators out there. Oof, it's scary.
I just look back at how I began to use the internet, and sure, there was predators, but we definitely didn't have a net nanny. And part of growing up online was about learning how to act safely online, and rather than somebody else dictating how you interact with other people. And I would have been incredibly angry if somebody had taken away my self-agency, my ability to choose what I do online. It's a form of dictatorship, and it's not something that we should be encouraging.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
You go, Claudia.
No, you go, Kim.
Okay, well, I'm just... when I was a teenager, it was also very important for me to go out and party, and I would have hated not to have been able to do that because it might not have been safe. So, you know, we learnt, you know, tips and tricks on if you were to get a lift home with someone, you know, how to figure out a safe way to get home. Or, you know, my parents got me to learn to drive a car as soon as they could, you know, so I could be more independent. So I think it's far better to give people skills than to prevent them from doing stuff.
Totally agree with that.
Absolutely.
And I have traveled a lot, hitchhiked in Iran, in Georgia, in Turkey, in Armenia, throughout Europe, and people basically tell me to stop do that because I will get raped. I have done that for like 2 or 3 years now. I haven't gotten raped. I haven't even been close to getting raped. People, I want to believe, and this is actually something that I think is, especially after Alice's talk in Noisy Square, I think it's really important to start to look at people as good, because we do not want to perceive every single person that we encounter as our enemy. That is the reason why we have those huge scandals. It's basically because we are enforcing fear into people, and especially in women, that they're not safe.
Okay, so I want to talk about the idea of thinking that everybody's good, because when I set up the project, the major project that I worked on in the last 18 months, which was Crypto Party, I came from it from the perspective of data love. Love everybody, make friends with everybody, trust people, make connections. And it was incredibly naive. And I got screwed over. And I had to come to a new position, which was walk slightly but carry a large rock. And so instead, I will sit with everybody, I will talk with everybody, but I hold my chips. Because frankly, I have limited resources. I have limited time. I have only so much I can give. And at the end of the day, I can't afford to have everything that I have taken from me. And that was what was happening.
That is very true. But also, I don't think that people should not try something new because it could potentially be dangerous because of their gender. And that is basically what I'm saying. I think like in more personalized case, like Asha was talking about, that yes, if we're doing it as an individual, but if I'm doing something and people tell me not to do it because of my gender, then we actually have a problem. That is basically the problem that I'm incurring when I'm doing my travels. In, you know, hitchhiking in Iran, everybody there was, I mean, super polite, very, you know, helpful. Nothing wrong with that. I've actually been harassed more often in Spain than I was in Iran.
So then my question is, are you saying that you've experienced discouragement at learning about encryption as a woman?
No.
Okay.
Basically because many people do not know about encryption. I'm the one who is explaining people in my social circle, so it's like less technically advanced, what encryption is. Mm-hmm. And that is because they know that I know the right people in Iceland, because it's a small community. But people in general do not know what, you know, encryption is. They do not realize that you actually can encrypt your Facebook messages. If you just use Pigeon and OTR, everything appears like it's encrypted on Facebook, which is quite awesome, in my opinion.
I had the experience of the media really fetishizing the fact that I was female and that I was a mother in regards to encryption programs. Like, hey, somebody's doing something around encryption and she's female. Woo! And it was like, get over it.
Yeah.
Really get over it.
No, seriously, I mean, that kind of stuff should, like, stop. Quit. Because that is completely inappropriate. Like, 2 years ago, we had a presidential election in Iceland. And there was one woman running, and she was like 8 months pregnant when she decided that she wanted to run. And people were like, how are you going to do that? How are you going to, you know, have a newborn baby and become a president? And she was like, that child has got a dad too.
Yeah.
And that is feminism. That is feminism because, I mean, we had a woman. Okay, Iceland was the first country in the world that actually had a female president. The second potential president, she was pregnant when she was running. That is something quite major. But still, the media was talking about, here she is in like post-baby body. And we were like, come on, are you talking about some other politicians who are men about their post-baby body? No, seriously, I mean, there are some things that the media definitely should not address. And that is, especially when we're talking about women in political circumstances, we should not be talking about how they're dressed or, you know, how their hair looks like or whatever.
And yet they love that. They absolutely adore to focus on the individual rather than the individual's contribution to society or the larger project that they may be working on.
And that is also the point of, like, you know, us dumb human being basically talks about other people, but smart people actually talk about ideas. So if you just ignore that, and if you just try to, we actually have great responsibility when it comes to changing the focus of the media. If we decide as a community that it is not okay to talk about women as an object and start to look at them as individuals, as politicians, as hackers. I mean, this is basically our community's responsibility, nothing else.
Yeah, you were talking about what you think is a feminist angle, and that you concentrate on body image and stuff. And for me, the feminist angle in the computer internet world has always been looking at power relations. And I switched from nursing to IT only because I found it a culturally fascinating phenomenon, what was happening. I was around about 30 and around about 99, 2000, and I was like, goodness, this is really going to flip my world, you know, and I want to understand it. I went into it, and I saw that there's a couple of people on the planet, a very small group, and they're going to be controlling a lot of infrastructure around me. And I've always been the kind of person who's been very responsive towards authoritarian figures and institutions. It began way back with my father, and then with the church, and then with the apartheid regime, etc. So I could see that this new thing that was going on, which was being run mainly by a very small group and mainly a male group, was, you know, that was something I had to keep an eye on. And for me, that has always been very interesting in the way I've stood in the computer world or the internet world or whatever, the technology world, is the power play, the power relations that are going on.
I actually find this very interesting because I just realized we actually haven't discussed what kind of background we actually have. And Dana actually just did that and, you know, explain why she is a woman in the hacker scene. So I actually think that we should actually take a circle and actually basically explain why we are here. I think that is just quite, you know, normal. What do you think?
Perhaps after a music break?
Yeah, definitely. Exactly.
Yeah, and
we haven't prepared, discussed anything.
Exactly. It's a nice, like, I wanted to. It does change, like, what you said about having a kid.
Yeah.
Just changed so much how people. I want to go into that also. Just saying so much how people look at it. Like, I was a single mom.
Of course.
And, you know, like, it's.
They treat you completely differently.
Totally different, and yes.
So, it's, boom, boom. I will play on other Twitter accounts that people don't know.
Going okay.
Who actually fit. So, like, I'll have lots of pseudonymous Twitter accounts running at the same time so that I can act as a different actor in different spaces where they don't perceive me as being female.
Okay, but let's get straight some line.
But I think having a round would be nice.
Okay.
Give people an idea of who we are.
Sure.
And,
sounds good.
Yeah.
Mhm. And are there other themes we should concentrate on, or something, or to keep a thread?
We should we're going to talk about equality. We should talk about the fact that most people here are fucking white.
We are in Europe.
Sorry.
I mean, that the most people here are white.
Yeah, but then...
This is Europe. I'm sorry. Yeah. But I don't really...
No, but generally, we're talking about the tech community, not just here.
No, I mean, I don't think... Seriously, we should not take this to that level.
I don't know. I was just having a conversation yesterday with Donna just about that, what feminism means to me. And it's like the all-inclusive thing. And I come from Brazil, you know? Like the blackness or the not white something, it has a lot to do with
it. It has stigma attached, and there's also poverty attached to it.
Yes,
that keeps people out.
Exactly.
For me to start talking about things about black people, I feel like an imperialist. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, okay, cool. I understand.
Yeah.
I do.
That's cool. I understand.
But it's not
I'd be nervous. I'm actually nervous. I really don't want this.
And it would be great if there was a black panel at some point as well. Yeah. But that's the thing.
It's not really for me to comment on.
I'm not being
more
diverse. Yeah. But I've also got a nice issue around diversity that I think. Well, anyways,
okay.
Whatever. It's also not the best. It's the race.
Strong person.
But also,
what do you guys think? We're going to start with a round?
Yeah, I think it's quite important to understand why we are here.
Yeah.
Because I think we actually have very different experiences.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start by telling which song this is, and then we will take a round.
Okay.
Will you just do a quick briefing, and then we just
take a round? Yeah, I'll start after. Okay.
You can.
Yeah, Creative Commons by...
Oh, that's good. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Brush me as a lawyer.
So this was Velos by Boom Boom Bucket, which is distributed by the Creative Commons license. So everybody who has interest in actually downloading something from them or, you know, sharing it,
then feel free to. Velo by Boom Boom Bucket. So we were just talking about that. Okay, we are here five feminist hackers or hacker feminists. I don't know what is more, you know, appropriate. And we were just talking that we have very different backgrounds. And Donna just explained to us before this wonderful, wonderful song, like how her experience was, why she came here. And we were thinking that it is, I think we have all different background, different reasons why we're here. So we are going to try to like see if we have any common grounds. Or maybe we're like completely different. I don't know. So Donna, why don't you do a quick briefing of what we were talking about earlier?
And just to explain a little bit more about myself so that people see, the people listening get an idea what my background is, you mean, like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, just okay, like yeah. What you're doing earlier. It was it was really nice, really interesting.
Well, I mean, I'm in my mid-40s. I studied literature, English literature. Then I immigrated and ended up doing nursing. I thought that would be a really practical trade, and you can, you know, you can do it all over the world. So if I wanted to go traveling again, I could do it all over the place. So that was, I really believe in having a trade. I want to be independent and able to find work all over the place. But then at a certain point, you know, I started realizing that things around me are changing. And I grew up in South Africa in the 80s, and growing up there really influenced my personality. So that meant I've become someone who's always very involved in the society around me. I want to know what's going on, and you know, I want to understand it, and I want to have influence in it. So when I saw this happening, I decided that I was also, you know, I needed to understand that to maintain having influence in it. So I started working in IT. In a support function, and I grew further and I became a sysadmin. And that's what I've been doing the last few years. I've been working for NGOs as a Linux sysadmin. But to be honest, what for me was the most important thing was actually not so much the technical side of things. I don't find myself actually very technical. I've never really grown to be elite or senior sysadmin. What is more important for me is to be in this subculture, to be part of it. And that's what I find the most fun. I don't know what it is exactly, but I really enjoy being in this technical cultural background. So that's for me, yeah.
My name's Asha Wolf. I'm 33 years old. I'm from Melbourne, Australia. I'm a single mom with a 3.5-year-old son, Josh. I completed a Bachelor of Arts at university, started a law degree and decided that I wasn't interested in working as a lawyer, and ended up working as a social worker for a while in drug and alcohol overdose response. And after that, had my son. And after I had my son, I was interested in WikiLeaks and the transparency movement, IMI, in Iceland. And it really led me to begin looking at the news that was coming out around it and curating news and data around WikiLeaks and the transparency movement in general, which almost immediately made me focus on the hacker community and also the hacker subculture, which eventually led me to a point where I was almost at the edge of a cliff, which was like, well, there's only so much you can learn about a community without jumping into it. And that's where Crypto Party came up, which was, okay, you believe in these ideals about privacy and encryption? Well, go ahead and do it, and do it now. And that's how I've ended up here today.
My name is Claudia, and I was very touched about what you said, like having being a mother, because for a long time, what defined me, it was being a single mother. And that changed a lot. But I'm Brazilian. Oh, that's music, right? This is a party. Well, I went to from Brazil all by myself. I came here in the Netherlands, and I did arts, fine arts, and I lived as a painter for a while. And when I had my son, it was I didn't have any big support network, right? And computer for me was really, really the answer. I was as an artist, as a fine arts background, I could design, and so I could make earn my living using computers. So that's how I went to the I got in touch with the hacker community and computers, and so it went so far that I nowadays I work as a quality assurance person. I'm a tester, and I still my experience with all computers is the same one. I had very good experience here, for instance, with how diverse it is, but. Doesn't matter if you are in a commercial computer programming things or open source, you still are seen as someone powerless as a woman. You don't know how to, you know, the really, really tech stuff work. So that's how people look at you. And just coming back to the fact that I since for a long time, the fact of being a single mother really defined me. What really gets me the whole hacker community and the whole thing is that the self-starting things, that you can do things on your own and by yourself, and you really can be very good at it. You don't believe in it.
I only believe that there's so far an individual's own personal ability can take them before you have to reach out to other people and work with other people. And if people come from a perspective where it's difficult to get ahead, then they get trapped without that community understanding why they're trapped in certain situations.
You're totally right. It's a very, very, very difficult. But I see I have some fingers pointing that actually we should hear you present yourself.
So my name is Becky again, and currently my role is working for Tactical Tech, which is an NGO that focuses on practical user education around privacy and security issues. And how did I get here? It actually feels so natural now that I think about it, but to many, it appears to be a long and winding path. I also come from a fine arts background. I was a painter for years. I also studied a lot of political science, et cetera, et cetera. And always felt it was important to express my moral values, explore my moral values through one medium or another. And gradually, the work I did just ended up being much more computer based. Realized I wanted to learn how to program. Started to do more design, and all of a sudden found myself being really, really involved in the networked politics scene, writing about it, and starting to notice all the different subcultures involved. The security scene, which is all about hiding everything sometimes, and then the other forms of technological activism, which are all about sharing things. And so then this dichotomy becoming very clear to me over time. And this role that I play now with training is kind of this attempt to unify these two different worldviews, because in order to make people effective at whatever they want to do, they need to learn how to secure their information, but they also need to be able to share it. And really looking back, it seems really, really logical that I ended up here, because my family comes from the former Soviet Union. They left as refugees. They couldn't deal with the political system there, and as musicians, they needed more freedom of expression. And so I've just grown up with this feeling that that's always number one at the end.
Well, okay, I must die again, and I don't really know. In the past 6 months, I've had this crash course in politics and global politics and everything. 6 months ago, I was quietly, blatantly a man that I was not going to partake in any political scene, that I was not going to do this because it was basically, I mean, everybody knows that it is quite crap. But sorry about that wording. But right now, I'm a member of the board of an open participatory think tank called AdRiders. I'm a alternate parliamentarian for the Icelandic Pirate Party, which means that I can step in and actually make law and make changes if I agree to do so with my parliamentarian. And I have worked in the European Parliament with Amelie Andersdotter, who is the Swedish MEP, member of the European Parliament, for the Swedish Pirate Party. So 6 months ago, I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. I know that I can't do it, but I'm not going to do it. I don't know, but I had this realization in January when the Icelandic Minister of Interior wanted to ban pornography on the internet. He wanted to put centralized filters on pornography. And I was like, come on. What you're doing is just as bad as what they're doing in Iran and China and, you know, wherever they censor the internet. And it's something that we really, really should not, as a democratic state, especially as a state like Iceland, should partake in. But I saw that there was no one really standing up because the guys out there are scared about participating in a discussion about pornography. Because what will they get accused of being perverts? They just want their porn. So I basically stood up and I started to partake in politics, which actually made me, you know, closer to the Pirate Party. And they eventually absorbed me and made me their deputy parliamentarian. But as a girl, as a woman, I actually saw that I have some strengths. I actually have a different position. I have credibility, especially when we're talking about something sensitive, like, you know, censorship of pornography. So that's how I basically got involved in information politics, because essentially what we're doing, we are shaping the future, we're shaping the moral philosophy of what actually is going to happen in the next 25, 50 years. And I've had this incredible crash course in that, both from Amelie Andersdotter and from my own experience. So basically we are doing so many different things here right now in this own camp, but we must not forget that what we're doing is highly political. We are discussing things, we're getting together, we're networking, not just as you know, women or men. It's basically we, the people, who are concerned about the future. And that is something that, you know, that is what I see it. I see it more that I'm a policymaker of the future rather than that I'm a hacker.
What we're doing here is highly political. I see everything I do in my life is highly political. It's not what I'm doing here. It's nothing special about it in this sense, you know. That's all I want to say.
Yeah? Oh. Which one? Active mic. Hello, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, sorry. My mistake.
Oh, you, that was a technical mistake. Oh, I always wanted to say that on the radio. But yeah, I'm not really sure that everybody is aware that what we're doing is very political.
Oh, I'm aware.
Yeah. I know that we are aware, and that is why we are here. That is why this guy over there, who is not allowed to talk because it's girls only, that's why he assumed us, like, why he got us here, because we realize how political this is.
I think that most people don't understand the risks that come with putting yourself out there. I mean, I've had people threaten myself, I've had people threaten my son, I've had, you know, I've been stalked, I've been harassed, I've had my website hacked. When you put yourself out there, when you make highly political statements, there is the possibility that there may be flak back, and you can choose to remove yourself from the scene, or you can choose to say, there is no way I'm stepping back. But in fact, I'm going to step forward, if anything. And you can't let people throwing stuff in your face make you walk away from what you believe in. You can change the world without having to to be stepped over all the time.
I would like to just go on a tangent, something completely different. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Something that struck me at this camp was I went to a late night session of the documentary Panopticon. It's a Dutch documentary that was made about 6 months ago, a guy called Peter Flemix. And it's about his concern about, you know, data integrity and security and privacy issues. He's really worried about all the data that's all over the place and the surveillance state, and you know, just and he feels that people around him don't feel the urgency or the issue. Yeah, and so he went onto the streets and he interviewed people and he asked them, so you know, do you worry about all the stuff you put on Facebook and stuff? And everybody was going, no, because you know, I've got nothing to hide. And it just went on like that. And he interviewed a whole bunch of really interesting people, people in the industry who can tell you exactly how much data is being collected and what all the things they're doing with it, etc. And that it does make it kind of scary and stuff. And after the movie, we had the discussion about it, and everybody was kind of agreeing, yeah, we understand this, but how do we pass it on to all the other people? And how do we get other people to, you know, to start figuring out how to use cryptography or to not, you know, share everything and stuff. And I had a really interesting like thought, something I hadn't thought of before, because I'm also very I don't have a Facebook account for like political reasons, and so I'm one of the few in my friendship circle, and that's always been like a special campaign for me. But all of a sudden I took a 180 degree turn on the thing, and it was the same kind of feeling I had when we first had email. Like there were people who were saying, no, you know, not everybody should have email because they spend their whole day checking their email and they don't do work anymore. Or when there was MSN on the office, you know, no, there can't be any MSN in the office because everybody's chatting all day and stuff, and it's stuff you can't turn back. So I suddenly thought, well, you know, we can't turn back this thing with sharing and, you know, everybody just texting and photos, and you know, we can't put a stop to that anymore. It's out there and it's over. And so how about we take a different look at the whole issue, and instead of saying, you know, we have to keep it private or safe or encrypted or on our own servers and decentralized and everything, how about we say, no, we're fine with all of this, you know, the state knows and the companies know everything about us, but how about we say, now I want to know all your stuff as well. So the people that don't share all their stuff, whether it's the bosses or the managers or the shareholders or the governments or the NSA or whatever, and how about we say, okay, no, this is a new age. Everything is open and transparent and shared, and, you know, how about everybody does that? Not only us plebs, you know, the masses, you guys as well, and that we start looking at it like that.
But that's the point. That's how Facebook does, like this Zuckerberg or so. He just like, well, let's be extremely open with our data.
Do we know all of Zuckerberg's traffic fines, that's photographs, chat records?
It's not about that. It's basically about who owns whose data. I don't believe that the human being per se is a private being. We actually like to share, and that is basically the foundation for, you know, like Creative Commons, for example, and why we like to share stuff about ourselves. That is the reason why Facebook is so successful. The difference is that when they're actually violating privacy is when they're using our information as a resource for money. And that is where I have a problem. And of course, when they're using it to spy on us, and to figure out who is a terrorist and who not, who is basically labeling every single person as a criminal, then it's why I have a problem with that. I don't think that people actually have to have encryptions. They should not have to have encryption. They should be able to own their own data. That is how I see it.
That's something I really ask myself. I had some friends some time ago that had a software called
Frentica?
Remember. No, it's not friend, but it was a feed that you download everything that you'd have. The software really failed because nobody used it.
Yeah, but
friend of a friend. That's what's the name of it.
The problem is that all the data you're putting out there is actually hosted on somebody's servers. Your pictures you're posting on Facebook is not your pictures by default, because you cannot really close down it in a box and hide it away from somewhere.
No, but I think the issue that... Oh, sorry, you go ahead.
What?
But we are running out of time. I think that we have had an excellent conversation here about privacy, feminism, life, universe, and everything. I can see that Asha really wants to get her point through.
Excuse me. I would like to say that I noticed something interesting here, which is that we were all called here as women, as feminists, and this conversation has become no. We weren't called here as women and feminists. We were hackers. Or hackers. Feminist hackers. So we haven't...
Finish what you're saying.
We have not been talking about gender politics per se. We've been talking about what draws us into this world, because there's a lot there. There's a lot of meat. This is our life. This is our worldview. And within that are embedded our beliefs... that we have as individuals, which is that we are women, but we're not sitting here talking about, you know, feeling isolated, harassed, alienated, and I just want to point out that that's an interesting thing. So.
I think that is basically what, I mean, I think that is a good thing. The fact that we actually do not have to complain about all the sexual harassment that actually could have happened, that people actually listen to what we say because we are saying it, not because, you know, we are girls or whatever. I think it's beautiful in a way.
Well, I see. I guess I see the same problem as she sees.
That we should talk more about feminist politics? Or are you pointing it out that it's a good thing that we are not discussing?
I think it's an interesting thing. I think in a way it's a beautiful thing that we could sit here and just have a conversation that would be no different from a conversation out there on the field right now.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. And I think
I agree with it, but I see a lot of fringes, you know, a lot of... areas that it's not really like that.
But I think that we have come a long way.
I don't know.
I think that we shouldn't be Pollyannas. There is serious shit in this community that needs to be dealt with. And that we shouldn't for 1 second pretend that it doesn't happen. However, this has been a beautiful camp. The people here, for the most part, have been fucking awesome. I'm looking forward to the next one in 4 years' time, and it's really, really good to speak to other strong women.
Yes. Yeah.
And that is, I don't think... Yeah. Maybe we should just make that to be the last few words of this evening. Thank you very much, and see you in 4 years.
Bye.
Like
I said, I don't see any change in how women are seen if you work with software. You are stupid.
Yeah, I'm gonna take one.
Yeah. What? There's a lot of beer.
It's time to die.
Beers.
Was it? Yeah, filtering out all the drink every time.
Very good. Very good.
He is really hard for him to be in the background. So we really have to be close to almost kissing the microphone in order to make his life easier.
And every time when you're talking, I'm muting the microphone.
Sorry.
It makes life very hard.
Sorry.
No, just
okay. It was 7 minutes, like I said.
I'm not blaming you.